powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
We are live from T-Mobile Park, live from Mariners Spring Training. I'm really, really excited. It's the Mariners Media Luncheon happening today, Bump, and we get to sit here looking out at T-Mobile Park. Am I excited to have our guests on today? Sure. Am I even more excited to hang out with you today? Absolutely.
You're so sweet.
Thank you.
You got this beautiful view of T-Mobile Park. We got the luncheon going on downstairs. Somebody grab your boy a plate.
If anyone can hear us, if you could get us a plate of food from downstairs. I repeat, a plate of food from downstairs.
We hungry.
That would be great. We have a lot of really great guests today. Teoscar Hernandez, Scott Servais, Mariners GM Justin Hollander, and, of course, catcher Cal Raleigh, all going to join us. We're going to cruise through some of today's top stories in our first hour, many of which are in the NFL. And then we've got three great hours of Mariners guests, Mariners stories for you guys. And we are really excited to get started with some of those. I got to say, Bump, I know that we're 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl and we've got a lot to talk about with that game. And again, we're going to get to like Tom Brady's retirement announcement. We're going to get to Sean Payton taking over as head coach of the Broncos. We're going to get to all of that in hour one. But I do want to start by just saying, despite all this news today, something about being at the park makes baseball feel just a little bit closer than it really is. You think about it, pitchers and catchers report in what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's almost that time. The last time I was at this stadium, our guy, the dumper, was going yard to send us into the playoffs. So it's nice to be back here. And yeah, it happens so fast. Baseball season is such a long season, but it feels like the break in between the last game and reporting to spring ball is so quick. With football, it seems like it takes forever. With basketball, it seems like it takes forever. But baseball, it's a grueling season. So now we get to, or some of us get to go to Arizona to check out the ball club, see what they got, see young guys like Harry Ford, see if Cal is gonna improve on some things that help the Ty France. Julio going into to the spring as a bona fide superstar in this league. Different expectations for this team, and I'm excited.
I'm really, really excited. I'm excited to see not only some of the big pieces we were talking about with Julio Rodriguez, but also the development of younger guys, too. It's not just Ford. It's guys that are already with this club that are still kind of waiting to break open, right? One of the biggest question marks lingering about this team is what's going to happen in left field. You've got a couple different guys who could contribute there. Taylor Trammell, obviously, is one of them. Sam Haggerty, when he gets healthy, is one of them. He was able to help out a ton last year in place of Jesse Winker. And, of course, in an ideal world, you know what happens? Jared Kelnick takes
JK.
Off.
Yeah, man, that's what makes this offseason fun. It's because you have a team that you feel like can take the next step if all things go well and guys develop, but you still have some question marks. That's why you bring in Teoscar Hernandez. We're going to see Wong. You got AJ. You're trying to see what Kelnick's going to do. What's Trammell's role in this whole thing? Sam Haggerty, that's my guy. What about Sam Haggerty? What's his role going to be? Demo. You have guys that you know that you are going to rely on, but you also have some guys who are competing, and I think that's what makes the best organization is when you have a good team, a good foundation, but also some pieces that are competing to get on the field.
There's also something about entering a season with expectations. Last year, that's exactly what happened because this club won 90 games heading into 2022, and they hadn't broken the playoff drought just yet. But the expectation was, hey, you got this really, really great player who's going to be debuting. And what's that? He's breaking camp with the team, Julio Rodriguez. You added Robbie Ray in free agency, and oh my God, look at all these pieces you've added. And then, as we know, the season ended with them getting to the playoffs. And not only that, it ended with them advancing from the wild card round, going to the ALDS, putting up a heck of a fight, despite being swept by the Astros, putting up a heck of a fight against the Astros. And it ended a little sooner than everyone wanted, fans, team alike, right? Yeah. It ended a little sooner than everyone wanted. But it does feel different heading into this season, even than it did heading into 2022. Despite the same number of games won, there's something about breaking that drought and having a really young, exciting team that has you entering in to this year thinking that the sky's the limit. And really, like, okay, so we're going to talk about this a bit later in the show too, Bump, but we were talking with Brandon Gustafson the other day in the sports pit, BG, friend of the show, and he was like, how many teams are really better than the Mariners in the American League? Like, how many teams genuinely in the American League that you can definitively say, not just like, oh, they're on par, or they could give the Mariners a tough time in a series. They are actually better right now. Houston, of course.
Houston.
Better than everyone.
Yeah, you got to go with Houston. I'm trying to pull up a list right now so I don't stumble
You're good.
What I want to say. But not too many as I pull up these teams, as I pull them up. Okay, you got to start with Houston, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious. The
Yankees I would still keep in there, just given that they've still got pitching as a great strength, and obviously they've got an amazing lineup. I know that the Mariners kind of got the better of the Yankees last year, and that the Yankees ended with kind of a disappointing end to their season, but I'd still put them ahead of Seattle. For now.
Yeah, I mean, you really just look at Houston, you look at the Yankees, and then everyone else is kind of like, okay, they can get it. You look at the Baltimore Orioles. I'm interested to see what they do.
Yeah, especially.
They're a team that was on the rise. There were sellers at the trade deadline, but they continue to improve. You always got to look at, like, the Blue Bloods. Like, Boston's going to be fine. Then you look at teams like the Cleveland Guardians, who put up a fight towards the end of the year as well. Really, there's two teams in the American League, and then after that, it's like,
that's what I'm saying.
Let's go get it.
I'm talking about definitively better. I'm not talking about, like, oh, I'd take the Orioles in a matchup, but best of four, I'd take, Cleveland. I'd take, whatever, Boston, right, exactly. I'd take the Blue Jays. I'd take the whatever it is that you take. I'm talking about definitively better
two.
Up and down the lineup. I think two as well.
I think two, yeah.
And I have been really critical, not hypercritical, but I've been kind of like, oh, God, I wish they would have added more. And I still think that, if only because I would love to say none. I would love for the answer mm-hmm. to be zero. But two is a pretty good place to start. Because it means that the Mariners are heading into this season not only as one of the best lineups and one of the best teams in the American League, but as I would say, like a top 10, 11, 12 team in all of baseball right now, certainly on paper, and then a chance, obviously, to outperform those expectations.
That's the exciting part. You have a chance to outperform. And I think it starts with two hits. We didn't mention this yet. It's starting pitching, man. You look at this starting pitching, this rotation that we assume is going to be there this year. And there are some guys. Robbie Ray had a tough beginning of his career mm-hmm. over here with the Mariners. I think it started off in Chicago when it's raining. It's all bad.
God.
It was a sloppy game. And then he didn't really get things going until about midsummer. Then he starts to figure things out. He brings in the sinker, adds a pitch to his repertoire. Then he gets going. You get Luis Castillo in the middle of the season. He gets going. Imagine a full season with that young man as well. So you look at this rotation, you're thinking, okay, that's a great place to start. You got to play defense, right? In every sport, mm-hmm. basketball, football, baseball, you got to play defense. And pitching is the best defense you have out there. If guys can't hit the rock, then shoot, you're going to be okay, going to be good to go. So now it starts with the pitching, and then it ends with the development of these bats. Can Tale Oscar be a spark plug? Can Ty France get back to the guy we saw in the first half of the season? Can Cal Raleigh continue to improve? What, 29 bombs last year, I want to say, but only was around 209 at the plate. I don't know what the slugging was, but you're looking for improvement. And these guys are so young that you can generally see it. We're not asking a bunch of 35-year-olds to go out there and get better. It's like, no, these guys are young. Not too many at-bats. We're banking on JK. He has over, 500 appearances at the plate now. What is he going to do with that? So, we're optimistic, but the starting place of this team is a lot higher than it was last year. Last year, we're kind of like, oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We hope that they improve and get to the playoffs. We don't really know. With this team, playoffs is a minimum, and that's a good feeling.
Minimum. I mean, I almost think that, like, I can't tell if, like, getting to the ALCS is my minimum. That is such an unrealistic and mean kind of, like, at least the ALCS or it's a failure. Absolutely not. If you get to the ALDS, you are one of a handful of teams that actually made it. That's an amazing feat that year in baseball, with the hardest playoffs to actually get to. I just think that I feel that optimistic about what this team can do. Yes, there are lots of question marks heading into spring training. We're going to be talking about all of them. You have question marks in left field. A question mark you have isn't necessarily with who your starters are, but with whether your starters can remain healthy. They mm-hmm. completely lucked out with the health of their starting rotation last year. If one or two or more of those guys go down, is your offense going to be improved enough? Is your defense going to be great enough? Is your bullpen going to be consistent enough to keep you in games, to keep you competitive, to let you win more of those close games, those one-run games, right? So all of that is going to be hugely important for this team. But despite, not adding the big bat that so many of us, including myself, really wanted to see this club add, this is the club we're looking at heading into spring training. I don't know that another big move is going to get made here. This is what we're looking at. So let's figure out what we've got to work with here, not just in Seattle, but in 2 weeks in Peoria when pitchers and catchers start to report. I'm really excited to talk to our guests. Like I said, Teoscar Hernandez and Cal Raleigh are going to join us along with Scott Servais and Justin Hollander. I think I'm almost, you know, obviously we haven't talked with Teoscar before. We've interviewed Cal before. I'm really excited for both players. We love talking with Scott Servais, but I'm really excited to talk with Justin, GM for the Seattle Mariners. He was assistant GM, taking over as full-time GM for this club. And he was instrumental in so many big pieces for this team, whether it's big moves, Luis Castillo's bringing him here, the extension, obviously, for Julio Rodriguez, all of that stuff, hugely important. And I think I'm interested to ask him, you know, Bump, you brought this up, but tell us about some of the things that drew you to the guys that you added. What's Colton Wong's defense like? What's Teoscar's defense like, right? Like those little tiny things. You know, what kind of progress markers are we using for Jared Kelnick throughout the season? Because let me tell you what, you want to have, if you want to be in contention, you want to have a surefire answer in your outfield by midseason so that you know that you don't have to make a trade or make a big move. So when are we looking for Jared Kelnick to improve, and what are those progress markers like? All of those questions we're going to be asking Justin Hollander when he joins us. I'm just, I don't know, Bump.
It's a big day. We got Justin, we got Teoscar, we got Cal coming up as well. And, yeah, we're going to ask these questions and also just get to know these guys a bit better. I think the M's fans want to hear from Teoscar Hernandez, you know, get to know this guy a little bit and see what he feels about this ballpark and this organization. But the thing that the Mariners have made clear to me this offseason is that they're going to do things their way. They're not going to chase the big contracts like a lot of these other organizations are doing. They're going to rely on their data. They're going to rely on the analytics and say, what type of player do we need? We don't necessarily need the most talented player who is going to require a whole bunch of money to get on the baseball field. We need a certain type of guy. We need a guy who hits the ball hard. We need a guy who has great at-bats. We need a guy who's good defensively. Colton Wong, low-key, was, what, top 10 defensive second baseman the last couple of years. We need a guy who's going to be a leader in this locker room. You lose Carlos Santana, who's going to fill that role. So they're going about things their way, and I realize at times it can be frustrating because you want them to go out and spin and get the big name.
I do.
But then once, I'm one of those guys too. But once you kind of dive into it and listen to them talk and understand their approach, even if you don't like it, if you understand what they're doing, then it makes complete sense. And I think that's what we're going to find out a bit more today, just talking to these guys.
We are going to get to, I think, the vast majority of the show today. We're going to be talking Mariners, whether it's Mariners guests, whether it's Mariners storylines. We do, though, have some major storylines in the NFL today. And I'm going to throw in the WNBA as well with, bad news, Breonna Stewart heading to the New York Liberty, one of the biggest free agent moves ever in the WNBA history. And unfortunately, Seattle is on the wrong end of this one. But coming up next in about 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about Sean Payton going over there to try to fix the Denver Broncos. I'm really fascinated by this marriage and where that could lead. Also by just the number of Paytons that are now being tied to this organization, whether it's Peyton Manning, whether it's the GM, George Patton, a.k.a. George Payton, whether it's now Sean Payton. There's just too many Paytons. You know what I mean? There's too many Paytons in the kitchen. Peyton Manning, exactly.
He's part of their front office.
Yeah, like, there's just too many. And that's the least of their problems, though. They have some other stuff to worry about. Tom Brady, officially retired, walking away from the NFL after 23 years. In fact, that's leading off headline rewrites. Why don't we get to it now?
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, in a video posted to his social media accounts, Tom Brady has announced his retirement from the NFL. Again, what's the real headline?
For now. For now. If you have not seen the video, I will tell you that Tom Brady does poke fun at himself. He keeps it short and simple and also says, look, this is for real. I know that I already did my big emotional speech last year when I retired the first time. This time I'm keeping it short because I already went through that, but he's walking away. This time it's legit.
Now, I believe him this time. I believe him. He tried not to get emotional, but if you look at his face when he's making the announcement, you could tell. Like, it means a lot to him, man. He's been the most consistent thing in my life, I feel like, is Tom Brady playing football in the NFL and competing for championships. And I believe him, man. He's been through a lot this past year with his personal life and then not having the season that he wanted to have. His boys are teenagers or preteens. He can spend more time with them. And he's done everything you can ask to do as a professional football player. Won MVPs, won Super Bowls, been competitive, did it longer than anybody can do it at a high level. And it's time to bow out. I believe him this time.
Absolutely. We are going to speak with Max Kellerman tomorrow. Really, really excited to talk to him about this story and so many of the NFL stories we're going to get to today. But you saw this really interesting quote earlier today from, who was it that you saw?
It was from Mike Francesa. He said, look, Tom Brady is not the best regular season quarterback. He thinks that's Peyton Manning. I look up just some stats. I go, yeah, Peyton Manning threw 49 touchdowns in 15 regular season games. Tom Brady did it in 16 and did it in the very last quarter. Then he goes, look, Tom Brady's not the greatest Super Bowl quarterback either. Montana's a perfect 4-0 in the Super Bowl. Brady still went to a bunch of them, won 7 of them. But it's about the whole career. Yeah. When you break down certain sections, you can nitpick someone's game and their career and what they've done. But for him to play 22 years, to win 7 Super Bowls, to have almost every record that's out there, you just got to tip your cap to him and say, yeah, he is the best of all time. But when you break his career down into sections, I mean, there are guys who did things better.
I think that this sport is a little hard to evaluate when it comes to saying, like, definitively, this guy's an all-time great. There are guys like Patrick Mahomes where you watch him and you just think, I can't believe that he's doing this. Like, no one else could do what he's doing, right? It is interesting, though, because Brady is going to be in the conversation with Serena Williams, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, all these other guys, Tiger Woods. And when you think about watching Serena, watching Tiger, watching Gretzky, watching Jordan, you're right. Like, your jaw's on the floor because you just think no one can do what this person does. There are times I've thought that about Brady, but mostly he was just so good at being, like, perfect on paper.
I think the thing that impressed me most with Tom Brady is making the play in the clutch.
Right, exactly.
And being consistent. Athletically, I'm way more athletic than Tom Brady ever was, but I ain't playing the league 22 years.
I'll never forget Tariq Woolen covering Tom Brady. I'll never forget that moment. Like, all-time low.
But it's deeper with Tom Brady. It's the intellect. It's the understanding of the game. It's the leadership. It's clutch moments. Pat Mahomes will do some things Tom Brady could never imagine, but he's got 7 of them things.
Last note on this one is that Tom Brady did film this from the beach. I saw someone tweet, imagine walking your dog. You look over on a sand dune and it's Tom Brady posting his retirement video. Next headline.
Headline rewrites.
The Denver Broncos have hired Sean Payton to be their next head coach. What's the real headline?
Nothing like fixing a really expensive mistake with a really expensive solution.
You're already this far in.
You might as well.
Just keep spending.
You might as well. It's just like, it's not even patching holes on the Titanic at this point. It's like building a mansion over a
It's like
a
trying
down
to
mansion.
Dig out the sunken treasure from the Titanic. It's like, oh, we can salvage this spoon.
We can still do it. Like, oh, God. But you know what? It might be a solution. What do you think, Bump, about Sean Payton to Denver?
I think that on paper it makes sense. You have a potential Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl winning head coach, a guy who demands respect, and that's something that I think Russell Wilson needs, a guy who has a resume that he respects. I think with Nathaniel Hackett, he was running the show, and that's not how it's going to be. My question is, can Russell Wilson handle being coached hard? Tough, because Sean Payton says what he wants.
Yeah.
He's not gonna dance around your feelings and make sure that you're good and ready to go. Apparently, they've had a conversation on the phone already, and Russell Wilson is on board. But you never know until you're in the fire. Can Russell Wilson humble himself and say, okay, my way did not work. Let me follow a Super Bowl champion, a guy who coached in this league for 15, 16 years and shown that he can produce one of the best offenses in the league year in and year out. If he can do that, if he can buy in, then it will be okay. But I have to imagine that there's going to be some rough patches. There's going to be some times where Russell Wilson is going home and talking to Sierra and saying, man, Sean is tripping. Why are you talking to me like that? Why is he pushing me this way? It's because you haven't been pushed that way before. You go from Pete Carroll, kumbaya, mental
it's
health, make
style.
Sure you're good. Boom. Then you go to Nathaniel Hackett to where you're running the show. Now you're going to a guy who demands a lot. It can be done, but will it?
Next up.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three, former MVP, two-time champion with the Storm, Brianna Stewart, has decided to play for the New York Liberty. What's the real headline?
Much like Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles, this was a breakup we saw coming a mile away. Ain't that the truth? I'm just going to keep doing references that four people in the audience get. God, much like Kim and Chris, this was a breakup we saw coming a mile away.
Chris Humphries.
Chris Humphries. That's
I know
that's
that
like,
one.
That's like four
that's
or five.
That's a throwback.
That's like three or four husbands ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's only one husband ago. Excuse you.
Sorry.
Brianna Stewart, some good times out here. Four-time All-Star. Averaged 20 points her career out here. 2018 MVP. First overall pick in 2016. But it makes sense. I've been saying it all week. I've been preparing myself for this moment. Like, she's from New York. She went to UConn. This was a courtesy. She said, I'm not going to do Seattle like that. I'm going to make them think they're in the running all the way down to the end. And we appreciate you for that. And we appreciate your time here in Seattle. Liberty, they're getting a great player. She can ball, man.
Yeah.
I'm not excited to see what she does, but I'm interested to see how things work out over there.
I appreciate it finally ending. Sometimes you just have to rip the Band-Aid off, get the breakup over with, even when both sides know that it's eventually going to end. That's where it was with Brianna in Seattle, and now with Seattle, we're here like crying and sobbing, watching Brianna move on with her new team, you know, scrolling through Instagram, telling our friends, don't click anything.
Yeah.
Don't touch the screen.
They got a super team going on over there in New York. Sabrina point guard.
God.
Was it Jontel Jones? 2021 MVP over
it's
there, too.
It's going to be unreal. I'm upset. But it's, you know what? It's still a really, really cool career move for her. Two championships with the Storm. It is what it is.
Probably gets her number retired in Seattle at some point,
yeah,
I think. She brought two titles here.
7 years?
MVP.
Yeah.
Is that all it takes? Two titles?
Yes.
Number retired?
Two of four? Yeah, half
sorry,
the title.
Sorry we can't
two
all be,
titles? We get numbers retired?
Sorry we can't all be Lakers fans.
Yeah,
though.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Bump. Sorry we're not all Lakers and Dodgers
yeah,
fans.
Jeez.
Wow.
Okay, let's retire.
No,
my back.
We've had enough of you. Can jeez. Sean Payton save the Broncos? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Lots of Mariners gets and Mariners news to get to with you guys, but we are going to run through the first hour of NFL stuff here because we got two major stories to get to. We're going to start with this one. Sean Payton taking over as head coach of the Denver Broncos. Today, the Broncos agreed to a trade with the New Orleans Saints that have been set in motion yesterday. Sean Payton becomes the 19th head coach in franchise history. The Saints receive the Broncos' 2023 first-round pick, which is number 29 overall, plus next year's second-round pick for Payton. Payton goes to Denver to try to fix the situation with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson not going anywhere. Maybe Payton outlasts him and finds his own guy eventually if Russell Wilson doesn't work out. But for right now, Sean Payton is looking at Denver. He had a couple other options saying, all right, I'm going to go here. I'm going to work with Russell Wilson. I'm going to work with a guy who idolized my previous quarterback and Drew Brees. Maybe there's something here that can be salvaged. But the Broncos have given up a ton for both of these guys.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the year before, you give up, what, two first-rounders to Seattle to get Russell Wilson over $200-something million. The guy goes over there, has his own office, brings his whole team, asks for hotel rooms, like 15 hotel rooms when they're on the road. And that could be like an urban legend, right? But I'm just going to roll with it because it sounds
good. Hey, like I said, it's radio. Right? You can say whatever you want.
And then you go and you get a coach. And this was necessary. There's no way that the Broncos were going to walk away from Russell Wilson. Russell had the worst season in his career. He has so much equity in this league that you can say, all right, it was everybody else. It wasn't him. It wasn't Russell.
He was also sacked
the most time in his career, 55 times, and he missed two games. So Russell owns some of this, right? A lot of this possibly. But your job as the owner, as the GMs, is to set up your biggest investment for success. What do? You break the bank and you go and get one of the best coaches to ever do that. So I'm interested. But like I mentioned before, it's all about the relationship. The reason why Sean Payton and Drew Brees work so well together is because they were genuine buddies, good friends, understood each other, same mindset, both worked their tails off and were on the same page. Can he get Russell Wilson to be on that page? If Russell Wilson really idolizes Drew Brees like he says he did and or does, then he's calling Drew Brees. That's the first call you're making and saying, Drew, what's up, man? What's this relationship like? You know, what's a day-to-day? What do I need to be prepared for so I can make sure that I'm giving this coach everything that he needs? Russ just needs to be humble.
I'm mostly interested to see that side of Russell Wilson to see that side of the relationship, because you're right. I think that one of the keys to making this work is going to be Russell Wilson giving in, listening to someone else. And there's, I think people talk about Russell Wilson as though he's the only quarterback ever to have his own staff, the only quarterback ever to, you know, advocate for himself or want to play his offense. Aaron Rodgers does this. Tom Brady does this. I'm sure Ben Roethlisberger did this, right? Like, you have, when you are 10 plus years in the league as a quarterback, you've, like you said, built up a lot of equity, and you start saying, hey, this is the way I want to do things. That's just kind of like the nature of this position over time. But the problem, Aaron Rodgers is a four-time MVP.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has won a bajillion Super Bowls. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be a Hall of Famer and went to multiple Super Bowls, won a couple Super Bowls. Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl, has been to another, but that was in 2013 and 14. He has not been back to an NFC Conference Championship game since then, nor is Seattle, right? All mm-hmm. that time with Seattle. And also had a horrendous year with the Denver Broncos. He needs someone to tap into whatever talent he still has, which I know there is some there. You don't just go from being one of the best players in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, that is, to being absolutely abysmal. Do I think that there was genuine decline that you're not going to make up? Yeah. Do I think it was as steep definitively as it was? I hesitate to say that. Maybe Sean Payton can go there and try to salvage something, but I think it's going to have to be because Russell Wilson plays the way Sean Payton wants Russell Wilson to play, not because Russell Wilson plays the way he wants to play.
Yeah, I think it was steep.
It was steep.
I'm looking at this man.
No. It was steep. I don't know if the steepness of it is permanent, is what I'm saying.
No, I don't think it's permanent. It was steep, but I don't think it's permanent. I think Russell Wilson did this to himself in a way. And it's out of ambition. It's not out of a bad place, I think. I don't think Russell Wilson is sitting there and saying, it's all about me. I'm going to make this happen. I'm thinking he's saying, look, I can carry a team. I can make every play that Aaron Rodgers makes. I can be Peyton Manning at the line of scrimmage. I can lead teams to fourth quarter drives like Tom Brady. I can be those guys. So let me go ahead and set myself up for that. Mm-hmm. So it's a little selfish, but everyone is selfish to some degree. And especially as athletes and as quarterbacks, you have to be somewhat selfish or you don't get to the point you are today. You have to have a type of belief in yourself to say, I can do that. I can make the plays. So now when you don't do it, when you don't make the plays, you know what the great ones also do? They make the adjustments, right? They switch things up. They put themselves in advantageous situations. You're Peyton Manning. You go to the Denver Broncos and you switch things up. You know, you're Aaron Rodgers now. You might call for a different coach, but you're still consistent, close to as consistent as possible with your play. That's what hurt Russell Wilson. It's like, you can't make all these demands
and then not play.
And then have the worst season. You just got paid, homie. You got paid and then have the worst season of your career. You just can't do that.
No.
So you have to adjust, man. And I firmly believe that there's enough clout with Sean Payton that Russell Wilson will make the necessary adjustments.
You know how Russell Wilson stopped at some point in the season ending press conferences by saying, let's ride, because he knew that it was just the season was too far gone. He couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
He needs to do that, but on a larger scale. Like, kind of like course correct with some of the stuff he's doing, being like, oh, this isn't sitting well with people. Consider this. The Denver Broncos have given up a 2023 first rounder, number 5 overall, 2022 first rounder, number 9 overall. They've given up number 30 overall, another first rounder. So three first rounders, 3 second rounders, a 5th rounder, plus Drew Locke, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant. In exchange, they've gotten Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, and then also a 3rd and 4th round pick, which, like, all right. So you basically got Russell Wilson, Sean Payton for 3 firsts and 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'll throw in, like, some contributors as well. But 3 firsts, 3 seconds for Russell Wilson, Sean Payton. If you were to tell me in 2019 or 2020, the beginning of 2020, hey, Denver's going to get Sean Payton as head coach for Russell Wilson, I'd be like, whew.
Yeah.
Watch out, Chiefs.
Watch out.
Look
now.
Over your shoulder. I don't feel as confident, but the price of what they've given up is such that this window is closing much more rapidly than it normally would be. You have given up so much of your franchise. You've given up essentially 2.5 years of your best draft capital to have these two people here.
Yep.
is it going to be the right marriage? Is it going to be enough?
It could be.
Because nothing that falls short of a Super Bowl is going to be enough for Broncos fans, especially for Broncos fans. They've been to the Super Bowl, what, 8 times since
no,
the...
I think if they get into the playoffs and win a game or two,
no.
that'll suffice them, I think.
Nope.
I think also what's going to save them is that they're working with a top 10 defense. Like, one side of the ball is good to go. One side of the ball, if you would have just averaged 18 points a game, you're winning a bunch of ball games. So I think that is what's going to save them. A run in the playoffs might not get these Denver fans to calm down, but it should. You won what? How many games last year? 4 games or something like that? And now you want to go to the Super Bowl just off a coaching change? They're not living in reality then. They're not living in reality.
If you think – listening right now that Seattle Seahawks fans are spoiled, something I've heard from many people, wait until I tell you about Broncos fans.
Man.
Wait until I tell you about Patriots fans.
Well, they're crazy.
Fans. Wait until
they're
I tell
crazy.
You about these fans that are looking for Super Bowl number
entitled.
4. I'm telling
entitled
you right
fans.
Now. But it's not just being entitled. There is entitlement there. It's also a really, like, despite being in Denver and seemingly like, oh, we're so nice here. No, they are tough. That media culture is tough.
I'm going to ask my Denver Bronco
yeah,
connect.
You know what? Ask
and
your
see how she feels
right
about
now,
this.
Ask your Denver Broncos
no
connect.
Way.
If they do not win a Super Bowl, is this a failure?
That's crazy.
But I'm telling you, they
That's
gave up
crazy.
3 first-rounders, 3 second-rounders.
I don't
rounders.
Care. You don't win 4 games and then go to the Super Bowl and expect to win a Super
no,
Bowl.
No, 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 no. Not expect to win a Super Bowl. Expect to win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm talking about next year.
Next year?
No, I'm saying next year
no.
you get into the playoffs,
Sorry,
you win
yeah,
a game.
Yeah, yeah. No,
boom.
You're right, you're
okay.
right, you're right.
No, eventually, yes, they need to win a Super Bowl with Sean Payton.
Yes, I think that if they do not win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson, most especially, but also with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, then fans will consider all of this a failure.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I do want to know what she says about their expectations. I'm genuinely curious
I'm
now about their
expectations.
I need to know, what if she's like, yeah, Denver Broncos fans think that like a Super Bowl or bust for 2023. Oh, God, I'd love it. All right. We're switching gears, looking at another NFL story here. Again, we have so many exciting Mariners guests joining you for the final 3 hours of our show, beginning with new Mariners outfielder Teoscar Hernandez at 11. Before we get to that, though, we got one more big story to get to today, two of the biggest stories in the NFL. We talked about Sean Payton to the Broncos. Also, Tom Brady officially to retirement. He is he's heading home. He's done with the NFL. Going to talk about his 23-year legacy next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Tom Brady is officially official. That's his retirement announcement, posting it via his social media accounts, including Instagram today, a video taken of himself on a beach saying, guys, I'm walking away from football, keeping it short, keeping it simple, given that he already had his big celebratory walk away from football last year and then decided to unwalk away and return for one more year with the Bucks. Now he is done. And you know what, Bump? I believe him. So we are looking at the end of a 23-year career, the most decorated player, certainly the most decorated quarterback, but most decorated player in football history. He walks away as not only the winningest player, setting pretty much every single passing record. Given the length of his career, I don't know how many people are going to touch it, but he also leaves a really interesting legacy.
Yeah, he does. His story, I mean, being pick 199 in the draft, you go over to the New England Patriots. They sign a Coug great, Drew Bledsoe. He gets knocked out on the sideline. Tom Brady goes in. He ends up, that starts his career. Drew Brees is healthy at some point,
yeah.
And Bill Belichick goes, no, I'm going to roll with this guy. And then from there, I mean, the rest is history. You win 6 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. You are the standard in the NFL for 15, 20 years. And then you move on. You go down to Florida, where everyone goes to retire, Florida and Arizona, and then you win another championship there.
Mm-hmm.
But before this season, are you going to retire or are you not going to retire? Man, he got the itch again. He goes, you know what? I'm going to give it another go. Then you go into this season. You don't have the greatest season, but you still throw for a bunch of yards. They're having a 45-year-old man toss it 66 times in a defeat in the playoffs. I mean, his career is something that every man who loves football will love to have. Right. He also marries a supermodel, has a bunch of kids. The success is crazy. Now, he's a human being. Right. He got divorced. I'm sure some things happened in his life that didn't go according to plan. But when you write up a Super Bowl or a story when it comes to just a player and his successes, it's Tom Brady's story. 89,214 passing yards. when it comes to passing touchdowns, 649 behind him is Drew Brees with 571. Mm-hmm. This guy is the standard when it comes to quarterback play.
So I'm writing down kind of like things, the parts of the legacy that Brady is leaving behind that have not only forever changed the way we talk about the NFL, but will forever be something that we point to and say, but what about Tom Brady? One of them I wrote, winning the most, setting the most records, without ever being considered the most Raleigh talented, even when Brady was at his peak and, you know, not only winning back to back, but even when the they went for 3 years in a row from 2016, 17 and 18 to a Super Bowl, winning, I believe, two of those, losing what, to the Eagles?
Yes.
Losing to the Eagles and then maybe winning only one. Either way. People considered Aaron Rodgers more Raleigh talented. Mm-hmm. People considered, you mentioned this earlier, Peyton Manning at times more Raleigh talented. Tom Brady will walk away being the most accomplished player, period. And at any point, was he considered like the best pure quarterback?
Pure, it depends on how you define pure quarterback. When I think of a pure quarterback, I think of a guy who puts his team in the best position, the best play every time he walks up to the line of scrimmage. I think of a guy who can carry a team in the fourth quarter and will them to a win. I think of a guy who is prepared for whatever a defense has to throw at him. And then I think of a guy who can carry a brand, carry an organization, mm-hmm. and not embarrass them off the field by getting into trouble or saying the wrong things when you walk up to the mic. The quarterback position is such a different position. Rarely is the quarterback the best actual football player on your team. There are guys, I look at defensive ends all the time and say, those are the best football players, man. Yeah. They're bigger, they're faster, they're the most athletic. Having a body move that way at that size is ridiculous to me. But a quarterback is a team manager. He's an extension of a coach. He's a brand. He's a decision maker. So I would say there are only about maybe four or five quarterbacks, in my opinion that I could look at and say, that is a pure quarterback. That is what you want when it comes to quarterback. And I'm not necessarily just talking about their style of play, because there's a bunch of different styles I feel like that are successful. You got your small quarterbacks, Drew Brees. You got your big guys who are kind of mobile, Ben Roethlisberger. You got your not really athletic guys in Joe Montana and Tom Brady. There's so many ways you can go at it. But when I think of pure quarterback, yeah, I think of Tom Brady. Most athletic quarterback? No, not a chance.
Not even close. He's also going to be remembered, or at least pointed to, in this conversation. Can you win paying your quarterback big money? Well, Tom Brady took less. That will forever be a conversation
always.
That happens about
Thank
Tom
you,
Brady.
Thank you, Tom.
I think that I don't know that anyone will – I think he's always going to kind of stand alone as being a little unique there. It's not just because he was out-earned at the time by his spouse, so he didn't have to worry about taking the most money and mm-hmm. setting up his family, because Giselle's net worth was like $300 million. But also, it wasn't substantially less. Like, I think that we romanticize a lot about the career of Tom Brady, with good reason, because mm-hmm. he has accomplished more than anyone else. But that's one thing that people will always point to that I don't think tells the complete story of how the New England Patriots won so many championships.
Right. Yeah. He took, what, 12%, I believe, or 11% of his team's cap at some point. So that's probably about $5 to $6 million less than the top quarterback was getting paid at that time. And if you present that argument, which I understand if you do, you can't present that argument without also talking about what in his life persuaded him to take that deal, because he was financially in a place that no other quarterback in the league was at. But that's part of his story. That's part of the legacy. You know what great players make us do? They make us argue. They make us talk about what he did do and what he didn't do. He was great here. He wasn't great there. That's what the greats make us do. So the fact that we have those conversations about Tom Brady just speaks to his legacy and how important of a sports figure he was to this country and to the NFL. So I embrace it, man. I might not agree with you. I might not say, look, man, wifey was making a bunch of money. He was mm-hmm. good. But when you sit down at the table and talk about Tom Brady, that will be mentioned that he took less money.
All right. The legacy of Tom Brady one, we're going to continue to talk about regularly, right? I mean, I don't think anyone will touch these records. Like, this may be something, records set by Gretzky, records set by several players in baseball, DiMaggio, right? Like, certain records will just never be broken. I think Tom Brady may end up having quite a few of these, given the length of his career and given everything he accomplished. But that career ends this morning with his announcement that he is retiring from the NFL after a 23-year career. We're switching gears. Yes, we are going to touch base with some of the stories. We're watching developing stories out of the NFL that are happening this morning. But more importantly, we are getting to some of our big Mariners guests because we are live from T-Mobile here at the Mariners Media Luncheon. Teoscar Hernandez, Mariners GM Justin Hollander, Cal Raleigh, and Scott Service all set to join us, beginning with Teoscar Hernandez. He joins us next. Don't go anywhere.